board recording for the meetings Monday, March 2nd, 2015. Board of Corrections at 3, Board of Equalization at 3:01, and Board of Commissioners at 3:02.
Call the Board of Corrections meeting in order. Please, would you stand and join me to the Pledge of the Elysium?
I pledge the allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call roll, please.
Tony?
Here.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted in the west wall near to the entrance of the County Board Meeting Room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes of February 2nd, 2015.
So moved.
A second.
Moving. Seconded. Call roll, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. Motion carried. New business. Terry Kern, Director of Corrections, shall report.
So, for the month of February, we had 78 county and 8 federal. Total 86, which is down slightly. For the calendar, first 2 months of the calendar year, we averaged 72 and 8 for a total in-house population of 80. Fiscal population, you know, for the 8 months of the fiscal year, has been pretty good at 96, so we've slacked off quite a bit on our populations. Federal income for the month, $14,105. For the fiscal year, it's at $157.86, and for the calendar, we're at $28.890. The budget for this past month, we were 23% under budget for about $48,000, and that put us at $34,268 under for the fiscal year, so we're back on track again.
Good deal. I know you could do it.
There's somebody missing a pot of holes.
Yeah. Good job.
Any questions for Terry?
Good.
Terry's good report. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Kim, I'm going over chipping it right now.
Correction committee reports. I don't think there's any. Mail on emergency business. Public comments. Is there anybody from the public have any comments about the Board of Corrections? Don't. Meeting adjourned. Board of Equalization, is that time for?
You going to turn it over to me?
Yes.
We're going to open up the Board of Equalization. It's called Roll Tree.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay, there's a current copy of the Elders Meeting Act posted near the door for all citizens and attendants to view. At this time, we're going to, well, I need approval of the minutes of the February 17th.
So moved. Second.
Got a motion by Bill Rohde to approve and a second by Dick McNair.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes. Okay, we're going to open a public hearing to consider the exemption application concerning the tax-exempt application form 451 filed December 10th, 2014 for Primera Iglesia Baptista Hispana DE South Sioux City 816 B Street on the following described real property tract in the northeast quarter and the southeast quarter of section 21 beginning at 1112.66 degrees east of the 335.57 degrees south of the northwest corner of section half, section quarter, thence. Boy, they got a bunch of it. But
anyway.
The hearing is open, and I'm not.
I'm surprised you went that far.
Well, I just got down to that bottom line. And wow, unplatted and the whole nine yards. But anyway, for the tax exemption of this application, is there anybody that wants to speak in favor of this application? You want to come forward and state your name and address for the record?
Buenas tardes, mi nombre es Jesús Leal González.
Good afternoon, my name is Jesús Leal González.
Mi esposa Francis.
I'm Francis Leal.
Mi dirección es la 109 East 33 en South Sioux City.
My name is 109 East 33rd in South Sioux City.
Soy el pastor de la Iglesia Bautista Hispana.
I'm the pastor of Iglesia Bautista Hispana.
Y bueno, nosotros recibimos la carta para poder estar en esta reunión.
We got the letter saying to come here for the meeting today.
Y bueno, lo único que puedo decir a favor es que las iglesias, la iglesia se ha sentido siempre apoyada por la ciudad en todo sentido.
The only thing I can say today is the church has always felt that we've been supported by the city.
La iglesia ha estado creciendo en los últimos meses.
The church has been growing in the last couple months.
Por lo regular hemos estado alcanzando familias jóvenes.
Regularly we've been having a lot of young families.
Y bueno, ahora estamos en la necesidad de poder de tener otro edificio.
And we've been coming in need that we need a new building.
Es por eso que compramos esta propiedad.
This is why we bought the new property.
Y bueno, no pensamos que las cosas estén terminadas hasta en unos, no sé, estamos a que Dios esté abriendo las puertas.
We're still not sure exactly when we'll start the process of building this building, but we're letting kind of God work in his own time.
Y bueno, pues nosotros quisiéramos ver si hay la posibilidad de que nos aprobaran esta tax exemption, o como se le llama.
And we're kind of hoping that you will help us and approve the tax exemption.
Para poder seguir, pues, trabajando en la comunidad, ¿verdad? Estamos, queremos seguir trabajando en la comunidad.
So we can keep on working in the community with the Hispanics.
Y específicamente tratar de ayudar a las familias, ¿verdad? Que tienen muchos problemas.
And specifically trying to help families that have problems.
Y pues gracias por también el apoyo que nos han dado en el proceso.
And thank you for the support that we've been having from the city throughout this process.
Por el apoyo que el concilio nos ha dado también.
The city council also has given the support throughout this.
Gracias por todo.
Thank you for everything.
Okay. So my question is, you plan on using this property to build a church or a facility to help the Hispanics?
Yes.
Okay.
Our building right now is getting kind of small. And so where we bought the property, the city council still has to approve some things, but they know the plans, and we're getting everything worked out so we can hopefully start this in the near future.
Okay.
Y estamos tratando de remover el término hispana a la iglesia. Dile que queremos ser una iglesia donde todas las de todas diversa. Las comunidades puedan estar.
Diversa, diversity.
Mm-hmm. We're trying to hopefully take the diversify. Hispanic part out of our name, so it could be for everybody.
Okay. Okay. Is there any other questions?
What's on this property now? Just bare. Okay.
Yeah.
And you won't do anything with it until you do the actual building.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now.
Is there anyone that wants to talk on a neutral or against this proposed tax exemption? No one against. Is there anyone neutral? Have any neutral comments? And in a neutral comment, you can speak in favor or whatever, you know.
We can speak in favor.
You sure can, you know, on a neutral comment, you know, you can, if you're a neighbor or something, then you don't have any issues with it?
Well, I actually am part of the church.
Okay.
Yes, I'm one of the church leaders at the church that we have right now. Firstly, I thank you for your time. I know you're busy. But honestly, as a person that came at a young age and to South Sioux and graduated from South Sioux, I feel it's a part of me. Sioux City is my hometown, but I grew up here. And I would love to give back to the community in any way I can. And now taking the Hispanic portion out of the name, I feel like it would be something that we all want. I want to reach the youth, firstly, because I do feel that we have a lot of troubled youth in South Sioux and Sioux City and in the areas in Dakota City. And we strive to break that reach in communication through people who are fluent in English and in Spanish and not leaving anybody out. And I would love us to have the opportunity to impact more people, and having more resources, so not paying the taxes for us would give us more leeway in doing more for the community. And that is why we're here today, and in the hopes that we can do that sooner than later. And I do thank you for your time.
Thank you.
My name is Alma Soto, and I live in Sioux City, Iowa. But like I said,
what's your last name?
I'm sorry?
Your last name?
Soto. S-O-T-O.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Well, thank you. We're going to close this public hearing now for the tax exempt application. And the board will decide whether to approve or disapprove. What's your flavor?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the section for the application of it. Is that you wait for the motion, right, Chair?
Right. I closed the hearing.
Yeah.
So now it's open.
So you need a motion, right?
Need a motion.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to.
You, Jeff, you want to talk on it? You got any?
Oh no, I would just the assessor's office recommendation is they are exempt.
Go ahead.
They are exempt already.
I know that they should. My recommendation is that the organization would qualify as an exempt organization under the religious part of the statute.
Okay.
I think they qualify. We have five things they needed to qualify under. One of them's ownership, and I believe they there's no contract on that. Is there? It was an outright purchase.
Yeah,
you own it 100%.
We're paying it from the bank, but yeah.
Oh no, that's fine. Okay. So exclusive use, financial gain, the liquor part of it, and the discrimination's all been addressed. So they pass all five requirements.
Okay.
So the assessor's office would recommend exemption.
Yes, but my next question. Thank you, Jeff.
Yep,
thank you. So I entertain a motion, and you made a motion.
I would like to make a motion to accept that application for the tax exemption for the Primera Iglesia Bautista in South Sioux City.
Got a motion by Tony Gomez for exemption. A second by Bill Rohde. Three, would you call roll?
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Okay, exemption passes. Is there any mail or emergency business? Any public comment? Turn it over to you, Tony.
Thank you, Rick. Now we're going to call the regular meeting for the County Commissioners Board. A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near to the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Roll call, please.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Motion carried. Consent agenda items.
Oh, yeah.
Approval of the previous minutes, February 16 and 17, 2015. Approval of the payroll claims. Approval of the accounts payable claims. Approval of the surplus sale report for county equipment. And I looked at payroll claims. Everything's in order. So the sales, I assume everything is good. So we need a motion for that.
Just a quick question. Was everybody pleased with that big iron surplus? You think we did well, right? I mean, the truck, I guess I didn't know how to put a value on that truck. And, you know, $41.50, is that?
It's usually better than what we do on our auction.
Right, absolutely, yeah.
So that was good.
Our last sold,
yeah.
Didn't even bring like $500. So.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a good idea. So, yeah, we netted. Yeah. I see that we netted, what were we at, $5,000?
$85,000.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Paid them the 10%. So, yeah, I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda items.
We'll second that.
Motion by Commissioner Scott, second by McNair. Call roll, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. New business. Jeff Curry, assessor, requesting to the board to approve a contract to property appraisal for reassessment appraisal service of commercial property by between the Dakota County assessors and the health of the with the approval of the Dakota County Board of Commissioners and tax valuation aid. Jeff?
Yep, thank you, Tony. Yeah. I think, does everybody have a copy of it, of the contract?
Yeah. And sure. Yep.
All right, so what I'm looking for today is for the board to approve the contract and get the signatures. We're to this point. This is actually the second to the last step that we have to hoop we have to go through on this. We've already had it in Lincoln at the property tax administrator's office, and we've exchanged a couple of emails, had a meeting on it, and had to tweak it a little bit to meet their standards of what they wanted us to have in it. So we were able to come to an agreement on that. And we also shared it with Ms. Watson's office up there. Tyler Pickus, I think, was working on it, and it came down. And the county attorney's office wanted me to have a tweak put in there to make sure that we really clearly define the separation of employment and contractor. So we added an addition for that in there. And we did get written approval to move forward from the Department of Revenue Tax Administrator's office. So the next step is to have the board approve it. And once you guys approve it, then it goes to the tax commissioner's office in Lincoln, and they will warehouse it. That's where it stays. So if this is what we choose to go with, and we'll try to renew this annually every year, then every year we'll have to the property tax administrator piece of it's done. We won't have to go through that again, but every year we'll have to I'll have to have the board sign it again, and we'll have to resubmit it to the tax commissioner's office.
My question is,
yes,
the 883 commercial parcels,
mm-hmm.
Why does it take so long? Is it over a five-year time frame that they're looking
at? Statutorily, we have 6 years to go through
and review. And I knew that, and I heard that. And
to review all parcels. So we have like 10,200, and I forget what it is total. And through the course of 6 years, we're allowed that amount of time to make sure we go out into the field and reassess each parcel. This particular instance, this is a complete revaluation. Based on the opinion of the property tax administrator, we're not doing a reassessment, we're doing a revaluation. So some of the verbiage in the contract is, whatever's in the file now is kind of void. They're going to rebuild the file from scratch in TerraScan. So it's a different process. Part of the contract, though, is they are doing the reassessment. The property, we have it set at 3 years now based on the recommendation of the property tax administrator. We'd initially started at six.
I think that if people are prepared on the commercial side to be paying more, because I think they obviously know that, you know, the way the farmland rocketed, and eventually we know, at least we heard from the old assessor, that it takes 24 to 30 months for that to, you know, come back down to realistic value. And I think people are prepared for the commercial properties to go up. I've had a conversation with a few of them, and I think a lot of them think on the same basis that I did. You know, one time I knew I was paying more for my house than my commercial property.
Yeah.
So I think that we are definitely behind time, and it's just too bad that couldn't be speeded up a little bit, because we're going to need those tax dollars.
Yeah. So right now the project and the way the contractor.
I'm not asking you to raise mine, because you already did.
Yeah. Double jeopardy doesn't happen in the assessor's office, but but this contract about to have the revaluation of every commercial parcel, all 883 completed within 3 years.
Three?
Yeah. And it does. The stuff that really takes the time is we're actually redeveloping all of our cost tables. We're putting together all new functional obsolescence, depreciation, all of that is going to, they're going to have new tables, new factors, everything's going to be rebuilt on it. So that's part, that's like one phase of what the project is. Going out and measuring new photos, that's the easy part.
Right, right.
The hard part's going to be building the system back up. And that's kind of where most of the time is. And then when you run into Richardson Milling or a Tyson or a BPI, those are weeks, not days. I mean, they're not even days. I mean, to actually catch up and do them. Yeah, so that's quite a lengthy process. Because what we're asking them to do, and it's to protect us, is we're not looking for them to go out and just give me a sales approach on it. When we're done, we're going to know what it's going to cost on a sales approach, how it's going to tailor out on an income approach. And all three approaches will be addressed, and tables will be built for all three, which will speed up any hearings or any of those things we have coming up.
I'm sure there's more formulas involved than what we're aware of, I'm sure.
There's a few. Yeah. And the rate was one thing that we were working with them. To get certified general appraisers is generally over $100 an hour. We got these guys now. There's two CGs, I believe, that are going to be assigned to us.
75 plus.
Yeah, and what we did is, since we're using their data listing resources as well, we kind of average it out to 75. And I really wanted to use that number because I think that's a number the board has used in the past for our referees. And that's about the best number I could get. I talked to three or four different entities about this project and kind of went through and worked numbers out. And this tax valuation pro that we're going with is a very good group. We're going to have people in here working that have been doing this for 30 years. Mm-hmm. For counties and for fee appraisals. So. Uh-huh.
Did you have any questions, Scott?
Well, if these go to Kirk, will they also represent it?
They do. I had them put in the contract for the just the informal hearing that I sit in on. They will act as a referee if the board so chooses to have them do it at the same rate as our other referees. Okay. If it's not resolved at that level and we do go up to Lincoln, or down to Lincoln, I should say, then they will represent us, but then it'll be a CG and it'll be $100 an hour. So they will raise the rate for that one hearing, for the hours in that hearing.
Okay.
But they will represent us, and all they need is something in writing from us to ask them to do it. I mean, they kind of expect to do it because it's really, I'm going to be relying pretty heavily on them for the values.
I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, it kind of gets our assessors out of the mess.
Right.
Yes, it does. It helps with that too. Part of this also is there's an informal, I always use the word protest. Our forms even say protest. I'll call it an appeal, though. We do ours, June through July. I think July 25th we wrap up generally. With this, at the end of the year, for every property we get out to that gets revalued, they're going to do, it'll be in May to the first part of June, they're going to have their own, you know, their own informal protest process where they'll sit down with and have them come in and talk with them, and they'll try to weed out as much of that as we can so it doesn't get to us.
Well, I know when it does end up a protest, or even Turk, that cold storage or warehousing or some of these plants have their experts. And it's hard for you guys. I mean, you wear a lot of different hats, and I don't know how you could possibly argue with them.
It gets tough. Well, last year we sat in hearings where we had two different attorneys at the table and one on the speakerphone, and it's me sitting there and we're enjoying a conversation. And
I mean, you're good. But.
Yeah, they don't know what I'm talking about. I had no idea what they were talking about.
I know.
About. No,
I think this will be, we'll eliminate some of those things.
It does. This will help us, and especially when we're talking about our big commercial properties.
Valuations back up again, with it.
Yeah.
It should be.
Yeah, and with solid information and representation for us to protect us with, as far as those hearings and Turk cases and things like that go.
All right.
Yeah.
I think it's getting good for the county assessor's office. You know, there's no doubt about it. I mean, that's all. We need a motion.
I'll so move. I'll second it.
Moved by Commissioner Rohde and seconded by Commissioner Musquet, we need a roll call.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. Motion carried. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, and I know first order of business is Love Trucking, in case anybody's
yeah.
curious. We'll be there, I think, April 1st.
Don't stop until you get there.
We will be looking for you then. Under new business, item B, approved resolution 15C-001, a resolution approving and authorized the Interlocal Cooperation Act agreement to create in the Dakota County Public Safety Governor's Board to the Interlocal Cooperation Act agency and to provide when this resolution should be in full force and effect.
I don't know. Somebody's going to have to bring us up to speed on this bad boy.
Very exciting times. No, the last probably 3 or 4 months we've been working on this interlocal agreement and trying to get seven entities into it.
Been interesting,
it's been
huh?
changed many times, and but we've sent it down to the lady does the interlocal. I think everybody's happy with it right now. I know there's a lot of everybody's going to be proving this month. I know the city, Dakota City, will be proving it Thursday night, and the rural board of Dakota County will be March 12th. So everybody's, like I said, everybody's happy with this interlocal agreement. Everybody's going to be signing it this month. They wanted it in place by April 1st. But
on the 25th of March, I thought.
Well, we're having a meeting March 25th, so everybody, we're trying to get all the paperwork signed, delivered, and ready to go.
Back in November, April seemed like a long way away.
It was. We did take out dollar amounts, so when we get closer to our dollar amounts, we'll probably have to amend the agreement, but everybody was kind of leery about dollar amounts and stuff like that, so we took them out for right now. So this is just an agreement so we could start, that group could start, start acting as the group to start collecting that April 1st sales tax.
Who's ramrodding these meetings now, that Prince no longer?
Lee Railroad, Deanna Beckman is... kind of came in, and she's kind of been helping out, and she sounded like she was, want us to help us out, and Alyssa will start, the new city administrator for Dakota City will start Monday, so she's very, very knowledgeable about this stuff, so hopefully they'll use her resource very well right off the bat, but like I said, the next step after we get this approved would be sending out to architect and firms to start.
I know I sat in on a few meetings, and I know Rick has, and then I know this interlocal agreement. It just seemed like that was the topic. I missed a couple meetings, and so now that's all squared away basically. And I know what Rick or I or both of us will be there on the 25th, so we can get back up to speed with everything. But. It just seemed like it was kind of becoming a long, drawn-off process because a lot of them didn't have attorneys. They didn't know which way to turn.
Like I said, when you have seven entities going, it took a little longer than we thought, but we wanted to make sure, everybody was happy with it. And, we weren't really no deadline crunch because we thought we had to get this approved before we could start collecting sales tax. That wasn't the case. They went ahead and said that we can start collecting April 1st. So then after that, it was no big really, rush for us to get it going. But
I just figured there would have been a lot more excitement going on. I know I've talked to a few commissioners, and they're just like, some of these different entities are worried about utilities and a new building. And I mean, most of them would be,
happy to get a new facility.
They would be ecstatic, and they would already have a shovel in the ground, already knocking things down.
But there is, like I said, a couple of entities they're, worried about, something does happen to the sales tax, where they're going to come up, because they will have to use their own,
And I appreciate that because I know the meeting I was at, that's one thing I preached was, let's don't get crazy. Let's stay within our means because
we definitely don't want to go after the property tax payers to try to pay for this.
It was a big role, and it's done with, and hopefully everybody agrees with it, and I think...
A lot of excitement. Good. Well, the hard part's probably going to be done.
Yes. I think now the easy part will start. I mean, the fun, I guess,
right, part. Right, the fun part. Right.
The designing and get it going. So.
On this resolution, on this... This in section 3, it's got that the chairperson and board of commissioners hereby appoint an elected or currently serving official to serve as official of the county to serve as county representative. So one of the commissioners.
So today, in each entity will have to pick one person, and then will be a. The voting, there will be 7 votes, basically.
So that'll be okay.
So you today have to pick a county commissioner to be at that meeting to vote, on items, I guess.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And there will be a board of 7?
Yep. There will be Dakota County Commissioner, City of Dakota City, Village of Homer, Village of Emerson, and then the 3 rural boards, too.
Okay.
So each entity will have to pick somebody to represent that meeting to vote on.
So this person will be involved from start to finish then?
Yeah. There's always going to be, because most entities have that backup person, that will probably keep coming and fill in if somebody has to be there. But we have to follow everything else. We have to follow the meeting acts, and we have to... have to have the quorum.
Right.
So we can appoint somebody, and then we need an alternate in case one of us can't be there.
Is that a fair statement, Clint? Is that what everybody else is doing?
Yeah, they just need somebody, like I said, to be in a local agreement that...
I love those cookies.
Somebody will be there to represent the county commissioners at the meeting.
That's a good idea. Right?
Kim, can we do an alternate on that type of a deal?
Looks like you have to pick one person.
And I think that makes sense, because I think I recall of the LEC board, if one of us couldn't make it, another commissioner would show up, and that was a problem with them.
It was, unless you appointed an alternate.
Right. I remember that happening.
Well, unless if you just pick one and you can't make it, the meeting will probably go on if we don't have a quorum. Right.
Okay.
And then they talk among it, if they're for it or against it or whatever, anyway. I get it. Yeah. Okay, that's good. I'm glad things are moving. The wheels are turning.
Yes, like I said, it was one of the big hurdles. I think there was some people that, were worried about more. I think more of the rural boards were more worried because they already had a kind of limited budget already, and if something ever happened to the sales tax, they would have to use their funds to pay for whatever was left.
The history really doesn't lie too much.
As far as things moving right along pretty good so far, right?
Yep.
That's amazing.
I think everybody agreed that we're going to collect sales tax for a whole year.
Sure.
So April of 2016, so we kind of know 100% roughly what is coming in, but it's going to take us this year just to, with architects and firms to come up with our plan that everybody wants.
Understandable.
And I know you shouldn't get too excited and get a game plan, this and that, but you know how I kind of feel about that. The longer you wait, the more you're going to pay.
Right.
I don't know.
And there were some people that said, well, we wait 2-3 years, and like you said, the money we bring in will, with the cost of, materials and stuff. So it's kind of one of those things. We want to hurry, but we also want to take your time to make
sure
we're collecting money the right way.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Thanks, Clint.
Thank you. Well, we need a motion to approve the resolution and appoint a person to that.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 15C-001 and to appoint Scott Love as our chairperson.
Maybe they don't want me.
I asked him
better double check.
I asked him first. and then I'll back you.
You asked me?
Yeah,
it's like you're going to do this here right now.
Oh, yeah, all right. What do you think?
I'm okay with it.
He's okay.
As long as you guys are okay with it.
So I made the motion.
Second.
Second by Bill Rudy to approve resolution 15-011 and to Scott Lowe to be a representation from the Dakota County Board.
Hey. Hey.
Yep, Scott.
Call roll.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes, and I'm excited, okay?
And we need to have a plaque made with Scott Lowe.
Oh, yeah.
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 Thank you, Scott.
Yep,
thank
yep.
you.
No, it'll be fine. Good,
Sheriff,
good group of people.
Item C on their new business. Sheriff Kleinberg requests board to approve solution to Addison and Dixon Path. Chris.
I can't wait to hear the solution. I'm confused.
I see there's two issues with this.
You don't want to be part of
gentlemen and the ladies and folks. And one of them was I didn't want to waste the pussy game, so I made six bottles.
I got it.
Yeah, I gave you one. Well, I guess we're going to give him.
Oh.
You can share.
All right, there's another one.
Can we get one?
Honestly, don't know how I got this, but I've been doing 911 addressing for a couple years now. When Pat left, he explained this to me, and Tracy's having a hard time as far as 911 dispatching, so there's liability stuff there that I'm worried about. We have two of the same addresses on Dixon Path. 423. One is a new place that was built out there where the trailer court was, and the other one is an existing Muff residence that is no longer there. And like Rick said earlier, the only person that lives on this part of Dixon Path is John O'Dell. I think that's the only house that gets accessed by that. So my solution to this was change the name of this little piece of road here to something else, Dixon Path Lane or something, and then we don't have to change the addresses or nothing. The other problem, and I talked with Fred this morning, this Sponder residence, and it's a house that's down on the river, not many ways to explain it, but it'd be east of the housing there on Dixon Path, and it's a lane that runs down right next to Potts here, and it goes down the river, and you probably know where that's at. But he was down there during the flood dealing with it. He's a retired law enforcement guy at Sioux City, but his address is 427. Okay? Bailey's address is 423. Just in the future, there's not enough addresses there. We've only got two odd addresses in the four block. So, and I know that when I talked to the assessor about it a couple of weeks ago, she's already looking to sell one of those lots to the east of her, or to the west of her.
Yeah, it's already split off, ready to go.
So there's one of the addresses. So that's not what I'm here for right now, just a heads up for you. But if we could think of something to do with this little piece of road, Fred says he's been maintaining it.
Can we change the name of the road?
Yeah, put a lane on it or...
O'Dell Drive.
He'd probably go for that.
I think he would have a problem with that, I wouldn't think. Just because he'd have his name on it? And
his family's back there forever?
And they have owned that property back there.
Yeah.
And I don't think Muffs are going to care. It's not going to change them any.
Terry Muffs.
So what's going to happen? My question is how did Tammy Bailey end up with the 423? And who named that? And I mean, who gave that house address? And like you said, there's a lot of other lots going to be available. How are they going to work all those numbers out? I mean, somebody didn't do so. How'd that ever happen from the get-go?
That's in the post office. That's something to do with that.
I mean, seriously, how'd that ever happen?
Actually, I've been doing it for the last couple years. I think it was something that Pat was doing, Pat Faust with the 911. But for the last couple years, I've been doing it. So I don't know, to be honest with you, Scott. I didn't do this in Thurston County.
Yeah.
I know we battled with 911 addressing with the tries, but it had nothing to do with this stuff. It was basically done. It was just I do them out in the rural areas when they build new houses. Tracy will say, hey, we need a new address. I'll go out and do the measurements and give them a new address. But I didn't have anything to do with this. I just got it thrown in my lap and started checking into it, talked to the city, talked to Tammy Bailey, and I don't know. I really don't.
I mean, I don't know how many lots go from Bailey's to the west, but the next house is 435, and she's 423, and obviously they're odds, so 5, 7,
Exactly, Scott. But what I'm saying to you is Sponder. He's before Potts, and his is 427. When I talked to Fred, I thought, you're right, Fred, maybe I looked at them wrong. Well, I went back and was looking at the map, and I thought, no, that is the problem. We only have two more lots we can address there. Look, Chernock is right before the corner here, and he's 412. So I don't know, you guys.
So how did they jump get such a big gap in them?
I think it had a lot to do with the trailer court being there, because that was one address. So I think that had some play. But I don't know. You know, that would fix it temporarily. If you guys just change the name of this little piece of road, it will help UPS. It will help you. Tammy's having a hard time. You know, she orders something, or say 911, or a deputy that doesn't know his way around, or a new deputy gets it. Dispatch don't know that. They can go 423, Dixon Path. You send rescue there, they're sitting there, there's no house here. Or is it this house? Well, who would think to go around? It's the same address. So that's what I'm worried about.
So your suggestion will be changed from Dixon Path to like Dixon Line or Dixon.
Well, I just thought Dixon Path Lane or Super Sheriff or something. I
don't know. Very well.
I think the best idea is Adele. I think we'll go for that because he's the only one that's going to get.
Yeah,
that.
I could do that.
That's a good idea.
That's what I do.
That's going to be a pain. Have you ever had to change an address that's already established?
Yeah.
As far as his business goes, it's over on, what, 3rd Avenue, so he's not going to have to worry about that. It's just his residence.
And I think John works for the school system now, doesn't he?
Isn't
he inspector for the city? Or?
I thought he was working down at the airport in aviation something.
I don't know.
Oh, I knew he isn't doing the electrical thing.
I think his brother said he got something at the airport.
Another thing Fred and I was talking about is if you do change the name of that, does that mean that this north-south piece of Dixon Path is changed with it, or do we just leave it Dixon Path?
It has to start at the up off of 9th.
See right there? It starts clear up here, right. But I'm saying it runs north and south here where it turns, goes past Chernoff, hits the right, and takes
turns
the left.
Again back to the west. I think from there on, I would think, unless somebody has a problem or knows something different than I don't, but it all stayed Dixon Path, and right there, but from the end on, you know, because John's okay with it.
Nobody wants to talk to John. I don't think I know him. I don't know him personally, I know that.
I went to school with John, I know John.
Okay.
Yeah, I was calling, just telling the situation, if you wish me.
He'd be honored.
Well, yeah, it's up to you guys.
He'd be honored, I would think.
So do we need to make an option today, or we want to wait until you talk to John, or what?
Wouldn't it be awesome to have a name?
Well, I don't think there's anything on their deal to make the change. It says,
Gomez.
It says sheriff requesting the board to approve a resolution to address Dixon Path.
To what the board wants to do.
So we need to...
I changed that.
You did change it?
To approve a solution so you can take action.
Yeah.
Should we talk to him first?
Let's go with that upon his blessing, I guess. Why wouldn't he? But
A vote to change the name, and then you can figure out the actual name later and vote on that. But I just need to tell dispatch something.
I think I don't see why John wouldn't go with
him. We just make a motion with the Odell Lane with his approval.
That's my motion.
And I'll second.
Lane or Drive?
Drive. Odell Drive.
Odell Drive.
Odell Drive. Okay.
Does that alleviate you then from having to think
Do we have a number? Address number?
No, we're not going to abandon it. We're just renaming it. He'll still have to take care of it. Lane or Drive? What do you want?
Drive.
Odell Drive.
Odell Drive.
And I seconded Bill's motion.
Okay. The motion is to approve the solution, I think, to change from Dixon Path to Odell Drive. Motion by Commissioner Rudy and second by?
Buskay.
Roll call.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
And I will call John tonight and let him know what our game plan was.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, thank you. Thank you.
Well, Gary, if he throws a fit or something, let me know so I can think of something else. But again, guys, we're going to run, if they build a house out there,
we're going to still run into
an address.
We're
going to run out of addresses, yeah. So
it'll happen.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Miscellaneous. Greg Fowler, Highway Superintendent, road report.
Okay, they go this way. So this way here.
As you see, there's not much happening in the road department. There were 169 total hours. Maintenance of road, half hour of overtime, 12 hours salt and sand hauling, 187. 0.49 tons of aggregate, 2.5 hours, 2 signs repaired. No calls on road concerns.
Wow. Hey, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Doing good, Brett.
Do that or we
didn't answer the phone.
Good job.
But it has been a little bit slow, and the weather firmed up a little bit with the freezing. So
it's good to report, Brett. Short and sweet.
There we go. I drove the new 12 the other day.
Did you?
The 6x6.
Yeah. We got an extra one now, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if you don't ever want to get in the
seat, whenever you need help, just call me.
Hey. There. You're on the list.
Thank you, Brad.
There'll be some road concerns there.
Now, Tiffany Paulson, Health Department Director, quarterly report. Tiffany?
To the north, and it gets changed.
Okay, so
hey.
We need to go back.
I get
it. Hold on just a second.
Yes.
On the wording on the Dixon Path, we need to clarify that Dixon Path stays the same and that the spur that goes off goes to Odell Drive.
So you okay. Need to...
just so we got that clarification.
If you want an official measurement of a rig, I can get one to you tomorrow, too.
Okay. Just so Sheree's got it in her minutes that...
Right.
That it's clarified that Dixon Path will stay the same... And that the spur
that goes, north.
That goes north off of Dixon Path will change to Odell Drive or Odell Lane.
I think just wording like that would work for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that okay? Is that good enough, Ray?
Yep.
Sure.
Okay.
That's perfectly fine. I don't mind.
Thank you, Ray.
I think you've got
one. Front door already. Is he done already?
You missed the whole
thing. I missed the whole thing.
Does Shereen need one?
I don't know if she wants one. She can sure have one. She does. Okay. So we had our semi-annual health board meeting the end of January, and so far this year we have 7 home health patients on our roster. In the month of January we did about 25 visits on those patients, 5 new admissions for 2014. Overall, the immunization clinics, we had just over 2,100 kids that were vaccinated in the first 6 months of the fiscal year, and 105 adults that were vaccinated. So that was kind of the rough overview of our numbers. As far as our grants are concerned, BT, we submitted our second quarterly report. We got about $10,000 in reimbursement from them. Right now we're doing an emergency preparedness assessment that was recommended by the state. So they're kind of looking at all of our emergency plans and how well they work, if they function appropriately, if our contacts are updated, those types of things. And so we're currently doing that. We're going to be offering a mass fatality training at the LEC the end of March, as well as started planning on a full-scale exercise that's going to be focused on mass vaccinations. Our immunizations, we wrapped up fourth quarter at the end of December, and so we get reimbursed about $6,500 a quarter from them, and so we got that in return. We started offering evening clinics on January 15th from 4 to 7 p.m., and so we've been offering those every other week on Thursday evenings, and they've been doing fairly well, picking up now. We had about 15 the first time we offered it scheduled, and now we have anywhere from 25 to 30 people that are scheduled in 3-hour increments, so it picks up. People like it, and so we're going to continue to do that as long as it works. Our next big news was what I handed out was our health needs assessment report results. And so this was just a collaboration of all the surveys I had sent out. This is kind of the end results that we got back. We got 789 surveys back out of the 3,000 that we mailed out. And we're going to do this. The state recommends anywhere from 3 to 5 years, typically, and it helps us with a lot of our grant proposals because we have a lot more support. And so I think next time we do it, maybe reach out more to churches, the community, social media. As you can see in some of those, we had really high Caucasian, really high over 60 population. And so we're going to try and curve that next time and get more of our diversity in the survey. And the Star, I don't know if you guys all read the Star last week, but we had a little article in that about the needs assessment, as well as it's posted on the website. So if anybody that you guys are in contact with.
Front page article, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was really happy and really pleased with it. And so if anybody from the community is looking for it, it is on the county website on the, under the health department. There's a link there. And so they can go look at it. Then our next big thing is the minority health grant. So I've been working with Kevin Connett on the minority health grant, which this grant is just shy of $200,000 over a 2-year period. And so we submitted that on February 13th, and we find out April 1st if we get the awardment. And then after that, there's a preliminary work plan and some other things that go into it. That grant's focused a lot on staffing, and so they really are pushing this community health worker model, and so that's a lot of where that funding drives.
What's your guys' feel on the grant?
Good. I felt like our grant was really solid. We had a really good proposal. Right now, Northeast wanted us to take over the 2 community health workers that are currently working out of the public library, and so we incorporated that into our work plan. And we talked with the state lots of times about different parts of our plan and how presentation was important and things like that they were looking for that was really minimal. But Kevin and I are pretty confident that we're going to get it, and so cross your fingers and hopefully everything works out. Right. It's a pretty intense and timely process, but we're pretty confident that we'll get the awardment.
So. Kevin is helping you with that.
Yeah, definitely. He's been a really good asset as far as just trying to get a lot of this grant was on focus on background information, and so that hence why I needed the needs assessment survey. We had to pull a lot of data from the census and a lot of data from the county as far as what our minority population looked like, what their health focus were, how healthy we are as a county, what we want to see improvements in, what other counties are improving in. And so we were able to draw a plan, which a lot of it focused, like I said, on community health workers and reaching out to the minority population. And so making it more available for them to find health care needs, to find physicians, understanding the health care needs. Some of the other components were focused on classes, and so we'll be doing some screening, like diabetes screening, blood pressure screening, and then we're going to offer some 5-week series classes focused on those different types of things like chronic disease or diabetes and things like that. And so we're hoping that if everything goes okay and it gets approved, we'll be able to start offering those in the fall. Our next big thing is network of care. So the board elected for us to try network of care, which is a healthcare-based website, and it is available to all the public. And so we're going to be launching it hopefully within the next few months. They're kind of building it right now for us. And it's a public entity. It is really got all of our county health rankings as far as how healthy we are as a county. And not only that, but lots of health education pointers and things for people to access as far as if they have a certain illness or a certain disease or something that they want to really look into without going to a doctor, this would be a good resource for them. And so we're going to be working with that entity trying to get that up and running, and we'll be doing some more publicity and stuff around that as it gets a little bit closer. And lastly, we got our Medicaid provider enrollment number, and so we are now able to bill for all of our Medicaid patients. So we have been diligently working away at our 500-plus claims stacks in our office, and so we'll be able to get about $1,050 per vaccination, and so it's about $2,000 a month, $2,000 to $3,000 a month for us. So,
yeah.
Any questions for me?
Any questions for me?
Well, thanks for all the good information there.
Good report. Tiffany does have a wish list, though. She would like a new door.
Oh, yes.
What kind of new door?
On the outside.
Outside door. It's hard to open. And
it doesn't last very
door,
well.
Yeah.
It needs to be replaced.
We have a little memory of the old women's jail, I guess.
Yeah.
We will definitely
get that. We'll get that.
Tiffany, thank you very much. It was a nice report, and I looked the article and Salt Lake City started was very nice. And I was impressed by the answer of the survey that you did, you know, because out of 3,000, you only receive 789. It's about 24%, so it's not really that good. And I think that reflects on the grants that we get from the health department. So, I mean, we need to reach out to people somewhere, somehow. I just visited with her prior to the meeting, and I think we got some plans to put together and work towards to get the information out there. Because it's, I want to speak for my community and myself in the Latino community. You know, I mean, I can see a lot of them coming in and get services, but only 17 respond out of the 3,000. I mean, out of the whole 20, you know. So I'm disappointed.
We were too. When I got the surveys back, we had sent them out both English and Spanish, and so I thought, you know, 3,000 surveys, we should get a pretty diverse response, but we didn't.
Yeah. We want the services, but we don't want to cooperate. Anyway, but I will do my work. Thanks, Stephanie.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you for your report.
Hey, when the cartoonists get back in town, Dave and Jerry, I know Rick's busy. They'll be back in the middle of March. We'll get them to look at that door and get it figured out.
Wonderful.
And we also talked at the meeting, too, of getting some kind of signage out there, maybe a lighted sign with the health department, maybe use a county health logo or whatever. Something, you know.
Yeah.
We've really got things going in the health department. It'd be nice to, you know, besides putting a new door up there, put some kind of sign.
Is the sign still out there that says stay clear prisoners?
No, they took that down. That's been removed.
Thank goodness. Please, Scott will take care of it.
Yeah. Like, wow, stay clear prisoners.
Thank you, definitely.
Thanks, guys.
Discussion on tech. Regarding Dakota County participation in SULAN Washington Conference delegation to Washington, D.C., April 15 and 16. I put that on an agenda myself, and I've been there 3 years, the last 3 years. And I think, personally, it's worth it. It's probably not going to pay in the first two or three visits, but in the long run, it's going to pay for it. And I will encourage the commissioners to support on this, and not necessarily send Tony Gomez out there. You know, one of you guys need to go, and I guarantee you, you will learn. And like this year, probably would be interesting on talking about this policy. Oppose and eliminate the limit on tax exemption status in municipal bonds, and also to talk about FEMA and NEMA and all those things, you know. And personally, myself, I will miss that Congress about this broken immigration system that we have in our country is not because we're trying to legalize the illegal immigrants. I think that it's a thing that needs to be fixed before it gets out of hand, because it's already out of hand. So my proposal to you guys, I would like to put this on the agenda. I put it on the agenda, excuse me, and I would like to put it on the next budget to send a representation from the county to the Washington, D.C. delegation. I'll listen to alarm at the board. I will insist to do that, and I think it's worth it. But if anybody has any thoughts or any questions, I don't know how do you guys feel, but I think it is important.
Well, I think we need to continue. You know, number one, we've got some FEMA and NEMA issues right now.
Exactly.
You said, you know, you've got a chance, whoever goes out to visit with some senators about trying to collect that extra, what is almost $1 million, I think, short.
And speed the process up.
Yeah, and speed the process, but that's an issue, and bridges, roads, everything. And Tony's been going. I think it's a great thing that you go, and I appreciate you going. It's kind of the wrong time of the year for me. We're planting corn about that time. I'd like to go. I would really like to go. I can't go this year, but if Tony or Scott, Dick, Rick, you guys want to go, I think we do need to continue it, though. It's a great
Thing. That's my point, and you, I understand, somebody want to go out this year, it's fine with me. You know, I have no problem with that. You know,
My personal opinion, I think what should happen is somebody from this board is going to go sometime. I know Tony has every intent of going this year. Right, Tony?
Well, The only reason I go, no matter what, I want to visit the Congressman and Senate about this immigration. And FEMA and NEMA is a very important issue for the county.
Well, sure. My point is if you have one more year, and if you would, for some odd reason, not rerun or not get elected if you did run, but I'm just saying that it would be nice for you to give guidance to somebody on this board to keep it going instead of them going out cold. At least they would have some guidance from you as a veteran of going to Washington, D.C.
Let me answer your question. It's more fun, you know, to go with both of the two of us and one of them. Because when I went the first time myself, I mean, the city of South Sioux City and the Sioux City, each entity hang out among themselves.
Yeah, you were sitting duck by yourself. I get it.
You know what I mean? But I integrated myself in the second year because they know that I was part of the group, you know, and things like that. So, yeah, that's nice. But I don't know, you know, to send two of us this time is kind of put a lot of burden in it. But it's not in the budget, you know. This money needs to come out of the inheritance tax. That I'm right or wrong.
What do we figure? What does it cost you on roughly? Is it a couple $1,000 to go out there between airfare and lodging the $500 steak dinner?
$2,500 minimum.
Yeah, because the motel itself is $500 a night. And you're not five-star motel either, you know what I mean?
That's a $500 steak dinner too, right?
Yeah. It's $500 or $600.
Do you get your bed turned down at nighttime?
Well, but you have the opportunity to visit to the congressmen and the senators person by person. I mean, you talk to them face to face. You don't want to give a sermon or anything like that. You know, you better be well prepared and have your issues or even a piece of paper and say, you know, and your spare time, so when you have a little extra time, why don't you read it? Let me know. Call me back. And they call you back. And says, Tony, I read your message.
Yep.
It's important. Yep. And I will see what
that's
we can
a good
do.
Deal.
So.
I would like to go in the next 3 years. I will.
Well, we need someone next year. And the deadline is the 6th, which is Friday.
March 6th.
Yeah.
Well, Friday, if you're willing, let's get you then.
Well, it's up to you guys.
Would you entertain going, Scott?
I've entertained it a couple different times and thought about it, and I talked to Tony this weekend about it, and like him and I talked, you know, I know with the FEMA monies, I know it's important to go out there and talk to some people. How many counties was there? I was trying to figure that out. Was there four or five counties that was declared disaster last year? Was there only four or five counties? Fred, can you answer that question?
I think there's three.
Three or four? There wasn't that many.
There was three, I think. Dixon, Dakota, and
so it ain't like we're going out there and there's, you know, half
County
of the
was also
what county?
Seward. Oh. There were different counties in different
areas.
Okay, there you go.
That were,
yeah, northeast Nebraska. I think there was three. Okay.
Can I entertain it for a couple more days and we got to know by Friday? And I can. Is that okay? Is that a problem?
For yourself?
Yes.
Sure.
But you'd have to go with me. I'm not going solo. All right, I'll get straight out there. I heard there's a lot of crazy stuff that goes on in Washington, D.C., so I need some guidance.
Would you let me go with Scott Long?
Oh, I don't know. That's pretty scary.
Oh, man.
Absolutely.
So what we want to do?
I'll let you know in the next couple of days. I'll let Joan know either book me or not, okay?
What about, we need to take an action on this, Joan?
Will you fly us out there, Bill? I don't want to switch for planes all
not
the
a problem.
Place.
What we need to do?
I'm scared to fly.
Not a problem.
And you don't ever want to fly with a guy that has a pilot that's scared of heights.
We got to take action on it. I'll make a motion that we send or take care of the fee for the Washington trip for Tony Gomez and tentatively for Scott Love if he decides to go.
I'll second that.
It's a move by Commissioner Fusquet and second by Commissioner McNair to send a representation from the county to Washington, D.C., myself and tentative Commissioner Scott Law. So we need a roll call. Coral.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, guys. Commission and committee reports.
I've got a, and this is all by memory, I apologize. Joan and I attended the legislative day in Lincoln last Wednesday. And I looked over at Joan, and she's writing notes, and I have a cup of coffee in my hand. I'll give you that. What I remember, I'll let her take over what I've done.
I printed them all out, Bill, if you want.
I was impressed with Governor Ricketts. He spoke for a half hour. And one thing that's interesting, all his department heads, he has replaced. Normally, you go from a Republican governor to a Republican governor. They keep the same staff. He didn't. And I think that's a good thing. I wasn't a big fan of Heineman, Governor Heineman, because of all the state mandates unfunded that he put on the counties and cut things out and cut.
Mm-hmm.
Ricketts, I think Governor Ricketts is sincere about helping the counties, cities, and schools. I do believe that, and I think we're going to feel that effect. He's trying to help out some property tax relief, number one. He's only, like, $60 million a year over the next 3 years, which isn't a lot of money, and that the Appropriations Committee's already delegated, I think, $45 million to this cause for the next year. So that'll help. He's also getting farmland going from the 75% assessed valuation to 65% assessed valuation. That's his wishes. Whether it happens or not, we don't know. But I think that's a good move, and I think, you know, some of these commercial properties will have to step up and make up the difference that we're going to hurt. But I also think that he's going to help us genuinely with funding. I don't know how, but I do believe that he will help us. It'll be a good thing, I think.
I hope so.
And there were several speakers that day. One was our new Department of Economic Development director. She had just started, like, her first week. It was Nebraska Regent Jim Pillen was there. He gave a good talk. The Army Corps of Engineers. I kind of feel sorry for these people anywhere they show up, because it always goes back to 2011.
They did. They
and they did. The question and answers, it goes back to the flood and how they're going to prevent it and so on. But Department of Labor, he's also new. He was there and spoke. Governor Ricketts had a chance to visit with our governor, Dave. Talked about LB 106, where the state can override the county under zoning, which makes no sense at all to me. And he feels the same way. And he had a chance to talk to
Bloomfield. Oh, you said the governor.
Dave Bloomfield.
Yeah, Senator.
Senator.
Yeah.
And he had a chance to talk to Larry Dix after Larry, or NACO representative, spoke in favor of 106. He's in favor of it. And Dave said, I asked him point blank, why are you in favor of it? He said he walked away from me. He didn't get an answer.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll find out. Joan sent him an email.
He never responded, right, Joan? Did NACO ever respond?
He did get a response. I haven't seen it. I have.
He didn't. I asked him what precipitated it. You know, usually it's somebody that there was a situation and then they decide to make a law. I didn't get a background. Just that they supported it.
Makes sense.
LB 106, it creates a matrix to help P&Z fairly administer large livestock operations. It's supposedly very complicated, and they wanted to make sure. And then if a county unreasonably says no to a livestock operation, they want to create a, it's not like a TURP board that can overrule the county board that denied them, and that's what we oppose. Not necessarily helping out or straightening out the livestock thing, but because
right.
We're pro-livestock. But
I think it needs to be done at the local level. I mean, mm-hmm. People know what they're
doing. I agree with that. Definitely.
And one of the questions asked to Governor Ricketts was, would he be in favor of a gas tax hike? And he said, definitely no. We get a 0.25% of sales tax.
He quoted LB 84 and said, let's do more with what we have.
So I think he's got some good ideas. I felt pretty good after hearing him speak, and I think it's going to be a positive thing for our county.
The only thing I'll add to Bill is that it was all economic development. How do we grow Nebraska? How do we get our families back? every department had hit on that, and even more technical colleges, that was emphasized too, and, you know, with emphasis on students getting degrees that get jobs.
Yeah.
So, and do it in 4 years.
Well, it's kind of like the dairy guy, Todd. You know, when we sat down and talked to him, he stated that Nebraska is just not business, new business friendly. They're shoving them off everywhere.
Yeah, they talked about, he mentioned the taxes. I don't know what we're rated in taxes, and he wanted to do that. He wanted to correct that, too, didn't he?
Yeah, income tax is like 13th all-time high in the nation.
Yeah.
And property taxes are like 14th. We're right there.
Yeah.
That's not good. I mean, that's not a good environment for anybody who wants to expand their industry or come to the state.
Well, it looks like he got good intentions, too.
He does. I really believe him.
I hope he's really...
And he's done a nationwide search for this new director of our Department of Corrections. And economic director, but also our corrections director.
Yeah. And Department of Roads.
Right. I seen the roads.
He was very... We need somebody new in Department of Roads. We need this.
Didn't they hire a firm outside the East Coast or something to find?
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah.
Wow. Doing a lot of positive things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know in his address, you know, when he was doing the State of the Address, his inaugural deal, he touched on Health and Human Services, too, and how he was going.
Yeah, he kind of.
He's going to correct that issue, too, or look at it real hard.
What did he say they are? A tangled mess of programs. What do you say?
54% of Nebraska's budget, Health and Human Services.
Well, the new blood, I think, was Heineman in there for 10 years? I think it was 10 years.
Dave Heineman?
I think he was there 10 years.
Yeah. It's a four-year term.
Well, it is, but I think he got in. Somehow he got in.
Yeah, for Joanne's, when Joanne's run for senator.
Right. So it was a 10-year run. So that's good. Well, yeah, new blood's probably not a bad thing for the state of Nebraska, I would think.
Anything else?
And then I attended that legislative meeting last week for Tony, and that was I didn't think it would be anything applicable to the counties, because they were talking about Nebraska's early childhood, but they're actually trying to get businesses involved. They're saying that the children learn everything from age 1 to 3, and that they are not coming prepared to learn classes, that they are just, and that if we can reach them more, and parents need to be more interactive with their kids, and that they need to be stimulated more. It was kind of interesting. There's two legislative bills out there talking about. It was kind of interesting, the stats they have on the children that succeed and what their background is on ages 1 to 3. So
yeah.
it was interesting.
I didn't have a chance to go up to that meeting, and I asked John if you want to. Thank you for going, John. But I learned, you know, that group not necessarily always talk about legislation, you know, but like she says, you know, they talk about topics that really affect the community and the schools and the community in general. So thanks for going, and thank you for going to Lincoln, because I think it was a good experience for both of you, because I've been there twice. So that's great. The president of the Chamber of Commerce from Sioux City, that was 4 finalists for the economic development of the state of Nebraska, and I was hoping that he appoint him, you know, I mean, locally here, because I know him very well, but he didn't get it anyway. So it's history.
If I may,
yes,
we all know about the River Point or River View Drive that Lance Morgan and the city, and they want the county and the school. A week ago Friday, I did not make it to Friday's meeting. I know Rick was out of town. I called Clint, he did not get back to me. But the Friday before, we met with Ho-Chunk's attorneys. Lance Morgan or Lance Hedquist was not there, but Kelly Flynn kind of ran the meeting, and there were some developers. And if we recall, you know, they want to do the road from River Point Drive, you know, all the way to 39th Street.
Right.
And Ho-Chunk's, the last I heard, and I didn't get an update what their last meeting was, but Ho-Chunk wants to come down off of 29th Street and go clear the river. So just not just a road going east and or north and south. They wanted to go east and west, clear the river, so they can kind of sell their lots or what they're thinking about down along the river. And our very first meeting when Fred and Rick and I met with them, you know, Rick made the comment, you know, that they're going to tip this, you know, where the county could, you know, benefit somehow from that by structuring it. And And at the time, I think Lance, his response was, that can't be done.
Couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, couldn't figure it out. Well, then at the last meeting that I was there, a week ago Friday, the city attorney, Wayne Boyd, was there, and I asked Wayne, because he, of course, you know, they're all just gung-ho, is the county involved? Is the county involved? And they want $1 million from us to do this. That's a $4 million road, you know, that runs north and south. I think they were going to do two, the city, the county, the school was going to do $1 million. There's so much stuff in the air because at that time, Wayne Boyd said, well, we've structured them that way before. It can be structured. So that's one thing we're going to have to stress, because we're going to have to pay for that, because, you know, we got the three bonds right now. And that the first phase of C Avenue, which will be paid for 7/15 of 2020, and then the second phase will be paid in 2032, and then the last one we just did will be 35 that we just did for the FEMA.
Yeah.
And one of the big dilemmas, obviously, that's going to happen is the school wants to bond $30 million to put up a school down there. And I think it was like a 120,000 square foot K or 5 through 6. And then they wanted to dump $8 million. They wanted to get rid of a couple of schools like Luce and Clark and to demolish that. And then Ian Sweat off of C and then build like a preschool development there. And then the building that they bought out there on the bypass, the Boys and Girls Home, they want to put $2 million in there and make that like a career center out there. So they're looking for $30 million. Now, the last time they bonded, the biggest bond they've ever had was $15
million. So that's twice as much.
It's twice as much. So they're concerned that they want to be on the ballot, I guess, for November. So, I mean, it's all time-consuming. And realistically, my thoughts are, you know, that's a huge bond. It's a lot of money for the county, what they're expecting. And they even said maybe we could horse trade some. By over the next 2 or 3 years, maybe the county doing some work, you know, down there with some dirt work, which, well, gung-ho we are on that. You know, we're only so many staffed with our road department. But it's going to be interesting. You know, and I told people ask me about it, and I really think it's a do or die for South Sioux. I really do. Because they want to put a town center down there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Ho-Chunk does. You know, and I can see it being the new Dakota Avenue, you know, somewhere along the line. And they even talked about, you know, when you come down Bennett Avenue, you know, if they had a bridge there that went over to 152nd, and if you made that an interchange, you know, where you could get off there, you know, and then go right down along the river where it'd be a four, that's $20 million just to put in a bridge right there. So it's definitely interesting. I think each entity is pretty gung-ho about it. I think it would be exciting to see that develop down their homes. I know Ho-Chunk thinking, you know, like everybody's heard, I think he wants $400,000 or $500,000 homes down there, which I guess if anybody can pull it off, it would be Lance Morgan, I guess. If you can pull it off. But so anyways, I think they're going to meet again Friday. Like I said, I didn't get any response back from Kelly from what happened on Friday. But are we meeting tomorrow?
Yeah, 3:30, I believe.
Okay.
Yep, here.
And then what's going to happen there? Their attorneys come in?
Yes.
Is it about
Lance? Lance, Morgan, some attorneys from Fredericks, whoever his attorney firm is. I think Johnson, I believe is his last name, the CFO's coming. Kelly's coming. Hedquist is coming. She said a couple other people I don't remember.
Are you guys going to?
Well, Jeff thought it would be good for maybe a couple of us commissioners to be here. I don't know if Rick's going to be busy. But I'd like to have Rick here as well.
Whoever wanted to, yeah. She just mentioned talking TIF and talking. There's some legislation that passed last year that kind of would direct or guide how I would put a value on it for a couple of years until he sold some of the stuff off. So I was going to talk to him about. They wanted to talk about that. So
I think a couple of us need to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, especially if they're going to be talking the TIF and
right.
Like you guys have all been in on conversations I have. That's my first contact with them on it. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure we're talking about TIFs and some of this other stuff. You guys or whoever wants to be represented, be there.
Rick and Scott being on the ball on that
here tomorrow at 3:30.
Yeah, right here in the boardroom.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good comment, Scott. And I think if they want to kind of help the county, you know, we that's like they said, you know, just scratch my back, you scratch yours, you know. I mean,
well, it has to cash flow for us. We've got enough bonds the way it is. And, you know, you got to pay back those bonds, so, I mean...
Yes. Okay. Anything else? I went to the Planning and Zoning Board meeting, and they discussed about Robert Bierman. He wants to split the house from the farm property, so they like what I like to do. This house set in 5 acres or 8 or whatever the case might be, but they want to just do set the house in 2 acres because the buyers not had enough money to buy the 5 and this and that. So the Planning and Zoning, they just said, no, we can do it. We got to stick with 5. And they was going to check with Kim, and I don't know if they've been in touch with Kim or not, but they didn't move anything. They don't approve it. Discuss the regulation of possible dairy farm in Dakota County. They were very excited. They want more information. They want to really look into it, and they want to get information from...
Did Todd give them all the information that they needed prior?
He did not make his February 27th deadline, but he will try to...
He's still on board. I haven't heard anything.
Yeah. He couldn't get all of it together, so another month. Yeah.
And we have, since then, we've had one other dairy that's contacted and wants to come in, too.
Yeah, so that was the reason they didn't make any comments or anything like that, because they need to get more information because the guy didn't make it that day. And also, they discussed, there was a fella, I don't recall the address, they've been approached by several, is it 60 or 50, guys are working for CFI, and they got little mobile homes or little trailers where they live on it. So they want to park it in their property and for a certain amount of money, and they can live there for that temporary for the time that they're being in construction. So they didn't agree on that because sooner or later that neighbors wants to do the same thing and the other neighbor wants to do the same thing. So they won't let him do it. So whoever
probably smart, right?
Well, probably, yes. Yes, it is. Yes. And they want to send 2 members of the Planning and Zoning to the Zoning Conference on March 11th to the 13th to Kearney, Nebraska. I think it's Marlon all the way going, Marlon Miller and Joe McKay. So, and that was all the business. That's all the reports to you.
I had 2 meetings that I went to, RC&D. They're trying to get it going here. It's going to be called Farm and School. This here is Rosalie Bancroft. They've already started. Like, you got like a farmers that's got 10 acres. What they want to do, they want to grow organic food. And I come up to the deal. I said, I want to know how many schools are going to do this. Well, they said Rosalie Bancroft and Wayne is really thinking about it. But anyway, I want to know how many schools there is in the 9 counties. So she's going to get back to me. Mrs. Smith from Schuyler, she's going to put this on. And John Ross from Bancroft, a supervisor, he said that West Point has got an organic locker plant that kills cattle. So that's going to help us quite a bit on that. And that's about what took place there on that. They're trying to get small farmers to start growing organic food for the schools. And that, and they sell it to the schools this way. And then I had a meeting with Northeast Nebraska, and Leonard Gill is thinking about, they're going to spend like $100,000. They can't do away with truck tires and tractor tires, combine tires, and this machine will rip them apart so they can get it in a smaller deal so they can grind it up better. So this Gill from up there, he said, talked about that. And then Sally said something about, we're going to try to pass out these, instead of garbage bags, you know, trying to get some
on bags?
Huh?
The green bags?
Yeah.
You talked before?
And we come up with that to try to order a bunch of them, you know, just to hand them out to get it started with the name on it, see? Yep. To try to get it stopped. So that's what's all at that meeting. That's going to be here this month yet, the way Sally wants a meeting this month.
with this bag deal.
Bag deal.
So we're on that.
Right. The RC&D, when they drop those, they do the tire grant, right?
We do it this year, but we're doing it down Arlington.
Right. Well, I know that we got involved at West Point last year.
Yeah, West Point.
Yeah, we dropped a few tires off down there.
Right.
The Blood Brothers did. And all of a sudden, I get a deal in the mail. They want a donation.
What?
They want a donation. Oh, yeah, they want $500. Yes. So don't. You stop by the shop. I'll show it to you.
Forget it.
RC&D, Oakland, Nebraska. Want a donation because I dropped a tire or two there.
Well,
it's got gone.
I was going to get it to him real quick. No, this year it would be at Arlington.
It doesn't matter.
No,
I did see that. I was like, well, what the hell? They get a grant from the state and they still want people to give a donation.
No, I just tear it up.
Nope, okay. Nope, I want to give them a donation.
Any more committee reports? Okay, mail and emergency business. Discuss and possible action regarding correspondence from Virgil Fowler.
Virgil Fowler is not here, obviously, but we got the neighbor, we got Miss Englier. You know what? I think, Fred, you want to start this off, if you don't mind?
No, not
at
all.
And then.
Virgil sent a letter to a resident in Fair Oaks, Phyllis Engel, and one to the county. I think you all have a copy of it, stating from the fire marshal state regulations about height and width of road, height of obstacles on roads. And the second resolution, vertical clearance shall be permitted to be reduced provided such reduction does not impair access by fire apparatus and approved signs are installed, maintained, indicating and establishing vertical clearance when approved. So I took that as if the local fire department was okay with their equipment getting in and out. The 13-foot 6-inch does not have to be adhered as long as they can get their emergency vehicle in. I talked to the fire chief of Dakota City, who takes care of that part in fire district, and if Mr. Rasmussen, Chief Rasmussen, would give you his assessment, why?
Well, like I said, I met with Fred the other day, and I have no concerns on the tree, on the branch, what's in it. You know, I think we drove that circle. I think there's 5 or 6 other trees that's probably more in danger than this branch. So
when you say branch, Fred and I have been out there and looked. It's just, I mean, they're basically, I know she had it trimmed up a year ago last fall.
What Fred said was just that one main branch. I mean, I told Fred that, you know, in the summer when the leaves are on it, I would, you know, go out there again and look at it. But, I brought the ambulance out there and didn't even come close to bothering it or any fire trucks or, you know, be any concern. I have no concern on it. So
you, with this letter coming from the assistant fire, state fire marshal, you can override that person?
Yeah, because it says that they're saying that if the fire chief or the fire department have any
locally
issue, that there is a state statute say that we can go in there, or I can tell the county commissioners or, you know, Fred to say, hey, this tree is, you know, the right of way, and we can't get our equipment in there, and we have to take it down. But I don't see that. So in the state statute that, you know, we have, unless Fred wants to get into the tree business.
Well, just like I made the comment, you know, if you went all over the city or county, I mean, you could be trimming trees all over the place.
Right. Like I said, we went just that, you know, that horseshoe shape there. Huh? There was a willow tree, I think, to the east of there, hit the ambulance. So
that's
like I said, there's other trees that we need to worry about than that one. But on this situation, there's no issue with the fire department with our equipment. So
good. That's good.
Good.
Thank you for going out there.
Thank you, Fred.
Now, my other question I have is, obviously somebody, it was said less than 20 feet, and this has to do with Fred. Somebody must have measured, and he has 17 and a half feet. Did he go out and measure the road?
I did not. I was told it.
Virgil did, 17 and a half.
Yes, and I am assuming it is. I did not actually go out and measure it, but I'll ask the chief again if the width of the road had any problems with it. And that probably would not change, because that would mean buying right away or through there. That is what the established road was.
Well, we're going to clarify something, because 2 years ago we went out there when he was here, and there was, when 7-8 years ago, when they went in there and they redid the whole horseshoe, and then obviously there was like a foot or 18 inches that he could not grow grass between the grass and the road, and he wanted us to go out there and fill that in. Fred and I met with him and said, this is not going to happen. I mean, they got a perfectly good road out there. Well, then all of a sudden, his attention shifted to Mr. Phyllis Legal here. Yeah, Phyllis's tree. All of a sudden, he had $1,800 or $2,700 damage on a tree. And the way he turns out of there, I've been there with Mrs. Engel and Fred. We've looked at it. She showed the blank check that she had it trimmed up the year prior. Supposedly, it's a special tree. She had an arborist out there that trimmed it up. And obviously, he must not be too big of a concern, because he's not here today. And I don't understand why, but doesn't matter. I don't see any issues, so I don't know what our next step is. If we just got to write him a letter stating that, you know, you, the fire chief, you don't see an issue, you were out there. He's a bully. He's bullying an elderly lady is what he's doing.
Like I said, he has a camper in his driveway.
You didn't have to say elderly lady.
That is right. Young lady. Young lady, I'm sorry. I got to go the rest.
Tell him. It was your trip to walk.
Well, no, seriously. I mean, it just seems like, and we've had the conversation with her while he's out there. He could go other directions, but obviously there's other people that he probably doesn't want to try to bully around, obviously.
That's true.
A fair statement?
And he has a camper, and there's no way that camper will touch that branch.
He's got two campers. Excuse me for interrupting, but he's got two campers. Sometimes they're both in the driveway.
Hmm. Have you checked to see where they're licensed?
Florida. Of course I have.
That was my next comment.
Florida?
I thought it was Florida.
One of them.
Oh, it is. Well,
I guess
I'll go.
I'm a little bit
more.
Can you put a restriction on that, Sheriff? Chris?
Excuse me?
Can you put a restriction on that?
I can't restrict him. I can cite him.
Can you cite him?
He has been.
He has been cited?
For the camper itself.
Is it 30 days or 40 days?
45.
It's 45.
45-day window.
So, okay, I got a question. So if he pulls in there with a vehicle with Iowa and he stays there for a week or 2 weeks, and then can he, that vehicle can sit over in Iowa for 2 weeks? Does it have to be consecutive 45 days? I mean, I'm a little bit, he has to be consecutive 45 days? It has to be there every day?
That's been some of the issue, but your statement will fix that.
There you go.
Which I haven't got from you yet.
Is that a Scott? I just think we need to write Virgil a letter and say there's no merit to his accusations, and that the fire marshal and stuff, and we're in compliance, so it's mute. Good enough. Have Kim write him a letter. You want to do that, Kim?
Sure.
All right.
Okay, so Kim, did you hear that? Phyllis, did you hear that?
Get myself fire again. This has been ongoing for six months. And it's wham, wham, wham. I think this is the fourth thing we've had to solve here. And that is not a big looming tree by any means. And like you say, there are other trees. I said, Virgil, go the other way. Oh, there's a tree.
Does he come over and knock on your door and want to talk to you about these issues?
Not. I haven't spoken with him since just had the tree trip August 26th and 28th. Because he sat on his step out there and just fuming. You know, I guess he thought I was going to cut half the tree off, but didn't. And I appreciate Fred. And I will get a sign to put up, as they ask in the letter from the state.
I have not talked to the... I was going to call the state fire marshal and see if he recommended it for trees. I got a feeling that's where a permanent overhang or something like that, that the fire.
Well, really?
You know, I can't see him actually wanting a signage
right.
for a tree.
I thought that was just that last paragraph.
And Phyllis, if you put a sign up, every tree that's in the county, we're going to have to put a sign up.
No.
No, we don't need that.
No. But let me check.
We
have to write a letter to Virgil and say
right.
that.
Right.
We're going to have it.
The county attorney will do
we're
it.
We're going to have the county attorney
do it. This came from Virgil, so he knows. You know, he sent it with the cover letter.
What we're going to do, Mr. Engel, we're going to make a motion to authorize our county attorney to send a letter to Mr. Fowler, you know, stay in what we've been talking about. Is that okay? We need a motion to...
I'll make a motion to send Virgil Fowler a letter and have him draft it.
Motion by Commissioner Busquets, second by Commissioner Love, to send authorize for the county attorney to send a letter.
If he comes to the door, knock it down.
Call roll, please.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
I would tell her that.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yeah.
Bill?
Yes. And Phyllis?
What's your carry?
If Virgil comes knocking on your door, just call Chris Kleinberg,
sheriff, for myself.
And let Chris take care of it.
Yeah.
Well, there's no need for you to take care of it.
And a couple of weeks ago, drove across my front yard. You know.
Virgil did?
Well, they had two campers in the driveway, his pickup and then his girlfriend's SUV, I think it is, behind. And I imagine they couldn't swing around the back of two, you know, and got disoriented and shot across my yard.
He'd get a bill.
So I've got a few complaints, too. You know, I've got a sprinkler system out there.
Send him a bill for $2,400.
You better believe it.
For your sprinkler system.
The county doesn't think you're involved with that $2,400.
No.
And I've had neighbors tell me, okay, if you have to go to court, because the last thing I heard from him in November, I don't know if you want to listen to all this or not, was that my neighbor told me that Virgil was going to did hire a lawyer and was going to sue me, something about an antenna on one of the campers. And Chris Aggie told me, if I have to go to court, I'm coming with you because I know the story behind that.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stop real honest.
I don't think, you know, I don't think, we support you and we stand behind you.
Yeah.
And I think that Charity will monitor the situation more closely and we'll go from there. And we're going to send them a letter.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. One more item here on the agenda. Approved care to sign a correspondence regarding the legislation issues for LB 06 and LB 175. And you guys know what they are, 106 mm-hmm. and 175. So we needed a motion to need to sign the correspondence to those.
So move. Second.
Moved by Commissioner Rohde and second by Commissioner McNear to share the sign. Call roll.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. Public comments. If anybody in the public has some comments.
I didn't want to put this on the agenda, and I'll just take a moment of your time.
Sure,
Thursday,
no problem.
I'm scheduled to testify on LB 635. LB 635
LB
deals with...
LB 635?
And it deals with in-custody placement of EPCs or... What it's going to do is allow us to go over state lines and place our mental health patients in the city rather than driving... We spend 8-9 hours with one EPC, and it's dangerous to send one deputy, but we do.
What are you taking to Madison?
Norfolk, mostly, if they take them. But I can go into stories that would blow your mind with DHS, EPCs. EPC is a civil action. It's not going to do a lot, and I don't even know if this is going to pass. What I'm asking you for is I'd like to have your blessing. There's nothing else in it that's going to affect you other than it's going to make it a little easier for us. It's going to get a compact with our neighboring states so we're able to do this. Ain't many counties that are affected by it. There's probably about six of us. Dixon, Cedar County, and this area right here. But if it doesn't get up Thursday, and if it doesn't fly, which they're thinking it may not, I might be able to attach it. It just so happens it was introduced by Chris, and Mr. Crow works in Chris's office, so we might be able to get hooked onto something else, and it'll save us a lot of time. Not to mention, if you're placed in a mental health care facility and you have to drive, your family has to drive 100 some miles to visit you, mm-hmm. it'd be much easier to go over the river. That might help them.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could get your guys' blessing on this, I sure appreciate it.
When you say you need a blessing from us, what do you need from us?
Just to support me when I go down and testify, and I'll say I'll come down with the blessing of the board.
So, absolutely. Did you want us to call the center?
No, you don't have to do anything.
Nothing.
Just say
okay.
You're for.
Okay.
I've got a bunch of them.
No problem.
Thank you.
God bless you.
All right. God bless you.
We have one quick thing.
Okay.
As a city, so you don't want me on there. Who else do you want?
I already thought about it.
They're sitting there watching me, and there's me thinking,
you look in the interlocal agreement, I think it's like 25-year term.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. I'll be dead by then, I guarantee it.
You'll be in your fourth. No, you're about your eighth.
I'll be in my eighth term.
As a city council,
Joan and I.
As a city. City council member, we need to look at the CDA group to see what representative the county commissioners and the rest of the city council can get on there. I don't know what we can do, but the county and the city needs to be on that board as a mm-hmm. representative. I'm not going to go into the detail, but we're not having a representative, my feeling, on that board. And they hold a lot of power.
Didn't we talk about that, Rick?
Yeah, we did.
Because they hold a lot of power, and in the last couple months, I found out how much power they do have.
Well, it's funny because Rick brought this up at a meeting with the city and the school people, and they said that, and Joan might be able to touch a little bit on this, that we opted out years ago of being involved. So they have a panel of voting, but they could have a commissioner still be involved to be the informant, but they would have to reorganize to get where we are a vote. But is that correct?
That's correct.
And then, but we could still be in closed session and all the things that go. Yeah, but there's many of times that people ask us what's going on or hey this and that, and here we are, county officials, and we're kind of sitting there like, well, you don't know. You tell us. You probably know more about it than what we do.
You know, we've got roads, and all of a sudden we find out that they've annexed our road into their area.
Mm-hmm. And had no idea.
No idea.
Like I said, I'm not going into detail, but like I said,
can you go into detail if we shut the recorder off?
The mayor.
But I just think that we're not getting, good as a county commissioner. I don't think you guys or the city of Dakota City is getting more, equal representation on that board that we should. There's a lot of major decisions that they're making, and, we're getting left out. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I appreciate that.
All right. Clint, there's many, many times, that since I've been a commissioner, I felt that way. They do the things they're on, we never know until they make decisions. And we should, as the county, we should be involved and we should know about those issues. So I agree with that. We need to follow up on that. Thank you. That's a good comment. Any more comments from the public?
Nope.
Yes.
We're good. No, I'm good. Yeah. No, thank you, everyone.
You guys
that was
have
nice.
To sign a lot
yes,
of stuff.
Segment.
Okay, yep.
No more comments. Okay.
Meeting adjourned.
What's up?